Welcome to episode 408 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, where PIMP stands for Permaculture is my passion. The only Pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, practical living, and sometimes even prostitutes. All good to be here with y'all. Well, we're going to be dropping some bombs here today. This episode, as always, brought to you by the Sovereign Health Summit. That's going to be October 27th through the 31st in Harmony, North Carolina. We're going to have the opportunity. Remember, oh my goodness, man, we are going to absolutely blow it up over there. It's going to be lit, as they say. And we're going to have Barbara O'Neill coming in. She's going to be our headliner. She's going to be speaking for 5 days straight. And we got a number of others. So she's Michael and everybody else. We got a band that we put around her. So you guys want to be there, be square, check, get your tickets at sovereignhealthsummit.com. If you can't be there in person, we got online tickets. That's what a lot of people aren't doing these days. We got it online where you can be there in the comfort of your living room. And we have made these prices so low that it'll blow your mind. But if you do want a 5% discount, TPC will get you 5% off. Also, this episode brought to you by Soil Saviors. That's going to make sense here in a little while, y'all. Don't worry. We're going to talk about that. Also, Bond Charge, not B-O-N-D, not like my last name, B-O-N, Charge. If you want some of these balling glasses that William and I are wearing right now, you know, if you want to keep that blue light off of your eyes when you shouldn't have it right now, like when I'm in a studio, yeah. Bond Charge, 15% off with promo code PERMA. And if you want to be balling with one of these watches, I got one of the older versions on right now. It's called the Wave Watch. And right now I got it on the parasite setting because I'm chasing parasites out. I'm in the middle of a parasite cleanse right now. Folks, don't worry. I'm going to have to do a show on that one later on because I don't care how good your diet is. I don't care what you have going on. The crap they're dropping from the sky, or if you're like me, you're a farmer, or you even have dogs, cats in the house, whatever the case may be, I guarantee you got parasites, but I'll talk about that later. But one of the things that's helping chase them out right here in this Wave Watch. I won't get descriptive right now because your mom shut me down a little bit earlier, son, when I tried to explain what was actually happening. Yeah. My chronic, yeah, that's a story unto itself, y'all. But maybe we'll get into that with Dr. Will here in a little bit. My chronic silver, 10% off with promo code PERMA. Remember, things are absolutely crazy right now. And there's a whole lot of people that are going around with these weird respiratory illnesses. Your mom had it for a little bit, and she nebulized some of that Micronic Silver and also did a little bit of heat therapy, and she's good to go. I mean, she's usually coughing like nobody's business every time they drop this garbage from the sky, and now she's good to go. Well, folks, all right. I got a bunch more advertisers, but they're just going to have to deal with it because I'm not going to take any more time away from our guest. As everybody knows, we had a massive snowstorm came through. If you listen to Dane Wigington at all, if you listen to Ariana Masters at all, both of which have been on this program more than once, if you listen to either one of them, they've been telling you, hold on a minute. Dane's talking about chemical ice nucleation. You got Ariana talking about how they're using these towers. And she's also mapping out, if you go to her X platform, how they're mapping out, she's mapping out all the different trails that these planes are making. There's a number of people out there doing this work right now, but two of those are friends of mine. And folks, it's crazy. So long and short of it is, this weather you see is not at all organic. And it was so crazy. I'm just going to briefly describe this, and then we'll go into Dr. Will and bring him on. The only reason I reached out to him in the first place was the fact that right off the bat, we get this snowfall. And it's not like I haven't lived in places where I've seen a lot of snowfall, whether it's Alaska, whether it's Kansas, Nebraska, Oklahoma, even Texas. We get it from time to time. I've seen it here many, many times in North Carolina in the 7 years we've lived here. I can't think of a single time where walking on this snow was treachery in and of itself. Ordinarily, when you can, when you're walking on this stuff, you know, I got boots that dig into it and it's just fine. But I remember Dane talking about all these surfactants that he said that they were putting into this stuff. And a number of people have reached out to me, said the same exact thing, that it's so freaking slippery, you don't even know what's going on. And that's what I found out here. So I'm like, man, this is crazy. I'm hearing about people that aren't doing well. So I had to hit up my man, Doc Will Spencer, and here he is live with us. Doc, how you doing?
You're muted, Doc.
You're with me, Doc.
I am unmuted now.
Okay, cool. I think I accidentally muted you. Yeah, how you doing?
I am okay. Surviving.
Yeah, I know, man. When you were, I don't want to fool around because I know we don't have you for a whole lot of time. I know you've been doing a lot of interviews as of late. You know, I hit you up a couple of days ago saying, hey, man, can you please test this stuff? What I didn't know is that you were already testing soil and, well, snow from, well, why don't you tell everybody exactly what you were in the middle of doing? And, you know, as far as the snow and the snowfall, everybody's saying they're having problems. When did you first discover that, you know what, maybe I ought to test this stuff?
I was down in Texas 10 days ago with our friend, Doc Pete, because we have some business things going on, and the storm was coming on, and it had rained down there when I was going from Louisiana over to Texas, and I noticed my nose plugging up and starting to get scratchy throat and feeling a little weird. And so then I just ramped up what I normally do and things like that and kept going to Texas. And then it froze and snowed and, rained again and iced up. And so I was 2 days. I'm like, hey, this is weird because everybody around in the whole world, in the park where I was staying, started getting respiratory problems. And I was feeling funky, like I was feeling like in my mouth and in my nose, like I was getting extra mucusy and it was feeling weird. And so I'm like, oh, I got to test this, because I had 2 days. I was sitting there, couldn't go anywhere. It's because in Texas, what happens when you get 3-4 inches ice? You don't go anywhere because of the other people that are on the road, that locals there that have zero idea that they should even be out on ice and don't know how to drive. Oh, my gosh. So I just sat down and I thought about and put this quick list together. And I'm like, okay, let's test. First, I had to think about what would be there, first of all, to make this weird feeling and everyone getting sick. So, and I just created this list started running tests. I run, I think, five of them now. You have all five, don't you, from different parts of the country?
Yeah, I do.
I got a really good sampling from Fargo, Tyler, Texas, your place there, Colorado outside of Denver, and then one here in West Virginia, because I got back day before yesterday. So I just run a sample and, just analyzed it. So that's a pretty decent cross-section of the country, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, I would definitely think so. I mean, that's everybody that has snow for the most part. And then I think you just did Colorado today too as well. But
yeah, that was soil, because they didn't have snow. It was 60 degrees there the other day. So there's no snow there, but they got dirt, and where the snow melts into the dirt. And so the dirt is something good to analyze as well, because the snow, a lot of it soaks into the earth, and rain goes into the earth and it stores things, and now we can see it.
What's blowing my mind is, like Dane Wigington was saying the other day, how is it we're still being called conspiracy theorists when at the same exact time where you have snow in Florida, you have rain in Alaska? Explain that one.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense at all. Well, Doc, let's just run right into it, because, and William, feel free to jump in here. Let me just kick off the first question I'm going to ask the Dr. Will, and then you just drop back and forth. Yeah, what's the odds of all three of us being named William all on the same doggone show? So, yeah, it just hit me right now. How about that? Yeah. Doc, I got I did a video yesterday and I told everybody we were going to be live and then talk about some of the results. Real quick, why don't you go down and tell everybody what you tested for? Now, folks, before we go into this, I want to remind you that the projects that we've done in Western North Carolina, after it was, you know, that manufactured hurricane that hit us out here, after that happened, Dr. Will and Pat Miletich is who I linked up with to help me clean this area up. And inside of 3 months, we went from absolutely toxic right alongside that river to where you can sit down and eat a meal in the grass. And honestly, I told everybody it was 6 months, but we were seeing positive results within three, and it was using Dr. Will's protocol. So we're not just going to talk about the bad news. We're also going to begin, because this is going to have to take a while to unfold, we're also going to begin what it takes to undo this garbage that's out there. So so back to the previous question, Doc. Why don't you tell us the whole list? I mean, take as much time as you need for everything you detected out here in this snow.
Well, there's kind of a story with almost everything that I'm looking at. So if you look at the geoengineering patents, if you look at the weather modification patents, if you look at the aerosolized deployment of biological agents and the technology that then make up what we're seeing as the Stargate and getting the technology into the human bodies as it through a delivery system, most everything comes through a respiratory pathway. And so that's why I was very interested, because I was looking at, if you look at infectious agents in general, so that's a general category, that's any synthetic or natural organism that could be infectious or material. That's a huge file. There was three different synthetics I wanted to look at. Virally, is viral agent synthetic in general. That includes, you know, all of the, some of this, the synthetic biology, I'm going to call it like a simian monkey virus, 40th mutation, SV40, or HIV AIDS, or SARS-CoV-2 virus. And there's a whole bunch of them in there. And so then it goes to skin, viral skin agents. So these are the ones that would be a pathway getting into us through the skin. Then there's the respiratory viral agents, which would be the ones that would be coming into us that they've created to go easily into us through the skin. Because what happens when snow melts? It's part of the water column. It turns to vapor, and then we breathe it in or we get it on our skin. Two of the easiest ways to get compounds into us without us knowing. And our body's immune system is easier. It's easier to get it in that way versus a needle. Because a needle, you have your body, because that whole thing with injecting something into you just sets off a cascade of immune responses. That's why they have to use HIV and a lot of these STDs in those vaccines, is to knock our immune function, our immune response down really fast. And that's just in the patents. That's not me saying this, but I'm also finding it in a lot of people that have been, just everyone that's been vaccinated just about. And then that's also what's being shed from those that are vaccinated to us that are not vaccinated. We're coming in contact with things like HIV and herpes and the SARS-CoV-2 and the SV40, because the vaccinated people are shedding that. And so now they're even putting that stuff in the pesticides that they're putting on their plants. They're putting it in different things like insulin or antibiotics and other pathways to get it into us. But it's also in the air and mostly from the shedding. But I checked, one of the things was mRNA technology, because I heard and saw some reports that they might try to put that into the geoengineering soup that they spray in the upper atmosphere. And sure enough, wouldn't you know, I picked it up everywhere on all five places. How about in the snow and in the soil. The craziest thing, and I don't know if you looked at all of these, Billy or William, but I put them on when I got done, I set them down, I just looking at them, and I go, you know, in a perfect world, these would all be zeros.
Well,
in a perfect world, and there's no zero on any five page, there's no zero.
Let me provide a little context for the audience here. So Will, Dr. Will has a ranking system for everything that he's describing here. Zero is ideal. Anything above a certain amount is clearly not ideal. Now, when we started clearing up this patch in Western North Carolina, we had numbers that were even higher than what he's reporting right now, or at least covered. Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
And when he came back to test it, there was not a single thing that was, there was not a single thing that wasn't single digits, except for maybe one or two, and they were minor. And that was remediated, you know, the next time I, you know, put another application of soil savers on. But that's, so anyway, we got a ranking system from zero to, I guess, I mean, Will, how far do we go up to infinity?
It's infinite. I mean, the scale goes infinitely, but so these are contaminants basically that we've identified, and then the more concentration that of the contaminant that there is, the higher the number.
Okay.
And we're okay. That would help. Be the.
What's if it that? Helps, I can pull up the results from Tyler, Texas, and share that on the screen. If you think
if you guys
help,
want to, I don't really care. Just know that, you know, this is a done really fast. I'm not a computer guy. I enjoy doing the pencil and paper thing, and so this is actually this is all done with a pen, and so I'm working on getting it digitized. But so I just took a picture of my sheet after I got done running the analysis.
Yeah, because you were doing this stuff on the fly. So
I was doing this in my truck.
Yeah. So zero,
you know, on the move.
So I mean, just as a basis of comparison, folks, just realize, and we'll go back right back to Dr. Will because I don't want people to be confused. Remember, zero is good. And Doc, when do we start getting in the dangerous territory with some of these things? I mean, at what number would you start saying, this is a little bit, you know, this is something we got to worry about?
That, well.
Or does it depend on the substance?
It depends on the immune function of the person interacting with it. When it comes to physical issues, that's individual. But if it's there, it's not good.
Gotcha.
Like, you know, and so the higher the number, and here's some bad English. The higher the number, the badder it is.
Yeah.
You know, for lack of, you know, you understand what I'm saying. So, because a concentration or a high number of heavy metals, like let's just say aluminum, for instance, is not good. It causes acidity in your soil. A high number of lead or a high number of radioactive strontium, that is not good. You do not want concentrations of these things, very much, because the body can deal with, or the soil can deal with so much if it can, if it has the right components there. But the more or heavier concentration, the more damaging effect.
Let me ask you a rhetorical question. How many, for example, how many of these substances, because naturally somebody's going to ask, well, I mean, clearly maybe this stuff is just in nature. I mean, like I said, I know it's a stupid question because you're not going to find freaking aluminum falling out of the sky and some of these other things. But what would be your response to that, saying, well, this is just stuff that floats around in nature?
Well, this is why I put synthetic. You can see that under viral agent synthetic, viral skin agent synthetic. This is why I put heavy metal or HM behind, because we do have aluminum colloid minerals in the soil. It's a nutritional thing that we need, or barium or cadmium, mercury, lead or strontium in a colloid form or in a sea salt form, which is an electrolyte form. Those are actually beneficial, but in a heavy metal form, none. We should not have them if we lived in a perfect world.
Gotcha.
So I clearly made it purposely anticipating that question, because I was sitting there in the truck thinking, how is Billy going to question me on this? Because he's the devil, and he's going to try to bring, you know, make me work at this a little bit. So then that's why I put, you know, I wanted to make it clear. So you, like, it's not like cyanide poisoning. I mean, how much more clear can you be? Because there's a natural cyanide, it, you know, it's in apple seeds. It's in peach pits.
Almond. cyanocobalamin, but that's not, you know, it's not floating in the freaking air.
It's not this stuff.
It shouldn't be.
And there's reasons why I chose some of these, like cyanide or like sulfuric acid. Sulfuric acid, you don't go out, oh, hey, let's collect some sulfuric acid today. No, that is a man-made thing. And there's a reason why they use that. If you look at the patents for things like respiratory aerosolized respiratory delivery systems for vaccines or for something, they use things like sulfuric acid as one of the catalysts to or surfactants, like you were saying earlier. It breaks down your mucosa lining to then allow the payload of whatever they're trying to deliver and aerosolize to you. And so that, and cyanide and cadmium. So I was going back in my mind, looking, thinking about these different delivery mechanisms. So I'm thinking, if this is really diabolical like we think it is, and I can taste it and smell it, and it's definitely not real snow like even when I was a kid, or you guys were, you know, you were a kid, Billy. It's because this has been going on since the 90s. Like, this isn't new. And so I had a really good plethora of information to pull from to creating this list, because like I said, this is not a new thing that's happening. It's just new because most people are just hearing about it, waking up. They've been messing with the weather back back into the 1990s, because I used to farm and look at the sky to know when I needed to do hay. So I was taught on how to read weather a little bit, and Ariana does such a great job. I'm really, really glad that she puts out that stuff, because this is not new. It's just a little bit more since Stargate got funded a year ago. This has just gotten catapulted. Otherwise, this has been going on for, you know, easily 30 years that I'm aware of.
Actually, it goes back much further. I mean, Operation Cirrus. I mean, Operation Popeye in Vietnam. I mean, all these,
right.
I mean, to the extent that we have now, I mean, it's on steroids. And every time I would bring it up and say, hold on, how is it worse now? Like you, as a farmer, I'm always looking at the sky. I'm always paying attention to what the weather's doing. And I'm like, how is it worse now than it's ever been? And everybody seemed to think Trump's going to roll in here and take care of anything. If anything, it's 10 times worse. I see some of the reports out there. It is 10 times worse than anything I've ever experienced in my life. And so, Will, let me get you back on track here, because I kind of took you off. So I think we kicked off with, you know, you got 170 respiratory viral agents. Bro, I'll tell you what, if, you know, being a doc and doing all the wonderful things you do doesn't work out, you could be writing ransom notes, bro. Because I'm sitting.
You got handwriting like me.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sitting. I'm like, is that a V? I mean, Yeah, but let's pick it up where you were at respiratory viral agents. I think that's where we left off.
I don't know. I think I can read it. I mean, you guys picking on me?
Absolutely. I wouldn't love you, man, if I didn't do it.
So anyhow, I wanted to really make it clear from different angles the inhalation process and the skin. And so that was why I started off the way I did, and then went down into the poison and, you know, the chemical poison, heavy metal poison. Now, for instance, chemical poison is a really big file as well. There's like over 80,000 different things that have been released chemically in our environment over the last 150 years. And if something's going to trigger, the number will show up there. If there's something in the sample that's in that file, and that number on here, the reading is 96. And so 96, when you're getting around 100, that's getting some decent concentration. Like, if you were going to go and do a parts per million, and there's a conversion software that I don't have working right now that'll take my numbers and turn them into parts per millions. And so there is a way of going from a stress level to an actual parts per million concentration level. I just don't have that. I don't have that working, but I like using the stress level number anyhow for what I do. So,
well, that was William's question before we got started here. So, I mean, you can convert that into parts per million, but it's only going to confuse more people, because if you can just put it in the scale where zero is good and infinity is bad, this makes it a whole lot easier to translate. So that's why, that's what these numbers represent. So for the
people, I find it easier that way. I mean, a lot of academics will argue, and they have been arguing with me on LinkedIn today a little bit, because I look at things differently this way. And so, but I like this scale. I'm glad you like this scale. It's easy for me. I don't have to mess with the software. And I was checking things like radioactive. You see a chunk in the middle there of radioactive fallout, because they're actually using, if you look at some of the patents, they're actually using radioactivity with a delivery vector to get things into us. There's actually a reason, and I've checked that, and you can see there's radioactive fallout group 1 and 2, and those are big groups. And there's a sampling of the radioactive fallout group 1, which is radioactive barium iodine, that group. And then the second group would be plutonium and strontium. And so I was just a sampling. I didn't want to make 500 entries to test, because the timing, it just is ridiculous. I was trying to get a quick analysis of, so people can see a little more reality from my standpoint. And that's really what this is all about. Then we did a sulfuric acid. It's just one of the many acids that they use in aerosolization for different mechanisms to get stuff into plants, to get stuff into the soil, to get stuff into us or animals. It's just a way of breaking the mucosa lining or the outside skin layer on a plant or on us down to then allow things into us faster and easier. And then we went into the metals, aluminum, arsenic, barium, cadmium, mercury, lead, strontium, which is kind of the main ones. It's also the components, because a few years ago they made it legal to use coal-fired fly ash to get rid of it, actually to put it into the air. So that's just one of the things. And these are the components of the fly ash, but these are also the components that they're mixing and spraying in the air to do other things as well. And so it's fly ash and so it's heavy metals either way you look at it. It's a unnatural compound, whether it's, you know, aluminum coming from aluminum smelting or the whatever, or it's coming from fly ash. It's still not technically a natural substance. And then silver nitrate, I was kind of curious about the cloud seeding, because I watched that young guy on Sean Ryan's show talking about how he was so proud of his cloud seeding, and all they ever do is silver nitrate and blah, blah, blah. And I think the kid's out of his mind, because I see something completely different. But I wanted to measure that and see if they were really, you know, that's just another indication that, you know, that ties into, you know, the terraforming and the geoengineering thing. I just wanted to try to put one or two things in there. Then the mRNA technology, which I read an article that some guy was talking about potentially putting that in the mixture as well, because not enough people have taken the vaccine and the shedding isn't working fast enough. And a lot of people are going away from allopathic medicine and pharmaceuticals. So they need to have it in a certain way to get it into us faster, to get the Stargate stuff hook up. And so I was just measuring that to see, and sure enough, every scan had mRNA in the sampling. Kind of low, like the soil in Colorado, it was only 6, but it should be 0. You know, I mean, so obviously they're doing it. So I was more on just identifying, just to see if that one article that I read was even close to being accurate. And sure enough, there's a reading on mRNA on every one. And then my favorite, this goes back a lot of years, is ergo, for those French speaking agriculturalists.
I'll have some S-car ergo.
And so I found that as very fascinating, because I don't know what your definition of it is, but it's a mycotoxin or an aflatoxin from fungus. And it causes like almost like LSD, mind-altered perceptions, but it's a natural thing that fungus creates, and it's bad for us because it does cause some breakdowns, but they our central nervous system. But it's been used in a lot of different ways in warfare to cause confusion to the enemy when you spray the spores and they breathe it in, and you know the things that it causes confusion, and people are easily scared when they have this active compound in their respiratory system. So, you know, this is just my crazy mind, and I'd like, sure enough, there's a reading, and some of them are pretty high. Like here in West Virginia, it's 65. Like wow. That's crazy to me. You know, I mean, 64 in the soil in Colorado outside of Denver, the liberal hub. 59 in Fargo. 40 in Tyler, Texas. And in North Carolina, 37. So, that's a little concerning, but doesn't surprise me. So it was just me kind of bringing some validation and verification that, yeah, same old tactics. They're using the same old tactics for crowd control, if you will, or you know, for herd management. And then they're piggybacking all this other stuff from Stargate and getting that technology that Sabrina talks so much about, and Chris Crutchfield talks about you know, getting the technology into us to make us the Internet of Bodies, the Internet of Things, wirelessly to hook up with the data centers and your phone and, you know, and all that stuff that is not conspiracy at all. It's 100% patented facts. And that ties into agriculture, believe it or not, and permaculture.
Yeah, man, I tell you what, I guess you just explained, if nothing else, I mean, I guess it's not all bad news. You just explained why all them hillbillies up in your neck of the woods are marrying their cousins with with the ergot going out there. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
It shouldn't even be there in the first place. Remember, for those that are showing up right now, remember, the lower the number, the better. He could have put it in parts per million, and some egghead's going to say, well, why didn't you put it in parts per million? Because if you don't have the scientific understanding for it, it's just better to put it on a scale, a numeric scale, from zero to infinity. The lower the number, the better. And once again, for the people that are just arriving on this live stream, everything that we've remediated out here with the help of Doc Will, everything that we've remediated, all of these numbers that you see up there in the hundreds is all below 10, okay? And some of them are almost certainly close to zero, if not at zero at this point with subsequent applications. So, William, let me go ahead and kick it over to you for a minute. I know you got some questions.
Yeah, so the obvious question that's going to pop up is, like, what kind of testing are you using to get these results? And then, why is it or is it superior to, like, testing such as, like, mass spectrometry and things like that? And then we also had a question from the chat asking
Hold on, just give them a couple at a time, man.
Well, this ties into it. Were you able to, like, identify specific isotopes in the samples of the, like, radioactive components?
I'll answer that one first. We can. I was looking at groups or a pair, like plutonium, strontium. They were just some easy, and again, those are just easy. So, yes, we can actually go down really small individual things we can identify. And so the technology, pretty much everybody's been exposed to this technology. They just didn't know it. So the NASA has a thing called a Hubble Space Telescope, which is actually an advanced camera that takes pictures out there of things like the surface of Mars or the rings around Saturn or whatever. And they take the picture and they then digitally send it back to Earth using ELF, extremely low frequencies or electromagnetic low frequencies, however you want to say that, which transfers data over extended periods or extended space very quickly and very accurately. And so that's what this technology, and then they send it down, they beam it back to Earth, send it to Earth, And then they use this technology to analyze the picture that they just sent to Earth to let us know that there's X amount of sulfur on that ring around Saturn, or the rock on Mars, or the whatever on Neptune, or whatever asteroid is made up of iron or whatever. This is the technology they're using. And this technology is 101 years old. It's been it's called biofield spectrum analysis. It's also known as radionics or psychotronics. It has multiple uses, multiple fashions, actually in mining and mineral and ore and certain explorations in the earth. This technology is extremely good and accurate like that, because using the technology, you can identify things deep in the earth without drilling with a computer. And so it's just because academia doesn't use it overtly, but they use it covertly and don't tell people. It's not used hardly at all in the medical system. And for whatever reason there, I'm not sure of, but I know that the way I use it, you can identify things in the soil, in snow, in people, in whatever, extremely well. And using the other way the technology is using, the Navy used to use ELF to talk to the submarines to communicate through the earth. They would actually use the earth and the water as the delivery and receiving mechanism of the signal of the voice, you know, cause, or the communication. So it's just foreign for most people to because they've never heard of it. It's not widely advertised or used or accepted, because most of the world runs on academia, and academia has in a way demonized the technology because it does work better. Like the machines I have, it's almost as expensive, but as a spectrometer like you're talking about. But it works better. It works in a broader, it's a like a, they call it a biofield full spectrum analyzer. I can analyze the entire spectrum of frequencies, and that's color, that's sound, that is mineral, that is chemical, that is, because everything has a unique identifying harmonic frequency. I mean, that's Royal Rife stuff. So how many years ago was that? Like 80 years ago he was doing that. This is in the hardware there that I use, there's four advanced Tesla coils, two for a locating and two for broadcasting a signal and two to receive the signal, I guess is the easiest way to say that. And so you're constantly, the hardware is communicating to where the picture was taken with the picture. So not to convolute it anymore. Was that simple enough? Did that make sense, fellas?
Yeah. I would also say that, folks, just for GP, because I was unaware of this technology until I started understanding more about it. When I did understand, okay, let me back up a little bit. I went ahead and took lab samples of everything Dr. Will tested in minutes. I mean, it was literally minutes, under an hour, I'll put it that way, for the tests that he did out here at the sites we worked on. And because I wasn't absolutely convinced at first, and I'll tell you folks exactly when I became convinced. Because I wasn't convinced, I brought in, and it was nearly impossible to find some engineers that I had to go find on the other side of the state who foolishly, the first time out, they put the name of the sample, and so we got back some BS results. When I had them put the samples in anonymously, they corresponded exactly with what Dr. Will pulled up. So I was like, okay, I'm starting to believe it a little bit more. Now, when Dr. Will came out to do the subsequent testing, when we thought we crossed the finish line, he came back out, or you were already somewhere else and you went out of your way to stop through to do the test.
I was close. Yeah, I just swung by.
Yeah, so you swung by. The owners were out there, and you were thinking, okay, we're probably, based on the previous test, you're probably thinking we crossed the finish line out there. And what I didn't tell you, and I wasn't trying to pull a fast one, I just didn't tell you because I'd forgotten about it. And William, I'm not sure you heard this either, but your mom knows this story very well. So Doc Will was testing by the river and then another little landing area that was a little higher from the river, and then the other area that was up furthest away from the river. And the area furthest away from the river had the worst readings, even though they were still, I mean, they were light years better than what we're looking at right here. What Doc Will didn't know, this is when I knew his stuff was right on point for sure, is that we didn't even start remediating the area up the hill because we didn't even know that was part of the property of the people that we were working on. So it was a month and a half behind everything else we were doing, but he didn't know that. And so his testing was confirming what I knew, what your mom knew, but he didn't know. So I've seen it over and over and over again, folks. I'm a big believer in this technology, and I know for a fact that it works. I've seen it over and over out here. So, yeah, what else you got, son?
So the mRNA technology scan, that part, did you notice that the numbers were higher in areas where people were jabbed less? Like I noticed, because I've only seen the results from two different locations, one being in North Carolina and then one being not far from me here in Texas. And I know in this part of Texas, far fewer, I mean, they weren't even wearing masks here for the most part. So far fewer people got jabbed up here and than they were in North Carolina. And I know, and I noticed like the mRNA technology scan number, the stress level number was higher in an area where less people got jabbed than the area where a lot of people got jabbed. Did you notice that correlation throughout the rest of your results?
Slightly. The Tyler, Texas one was 62 on the mRNA. The one here in Westford, let's see, no, your place there in North Carolina was 15. Fargo was 28, just north of Fargo. Colorado, just outside of Denver, was 6. That was a soil sample, though. That wasn't, there was no snow. And then 33 in West Virginia, here in north central West Virginia. So I was just more or less just seeing if I could see it. That was all I was after. I was really no, there was no thinking other than I'm curious because I, it's, they said they were going to start spraying it openly. So that was all I was, it was just identifying that that's really all. And then so, the thing I do notice, like the soil sample versus all four of the snow samplings, because of the temperature and the activity, I believe, and again, I didn't write this on here, but I did do some testing to kind of validate what my belief was, is there's more microbial activity in the soil and more plant activity. So the plants are creating enzyme, you know, and exudates in their roots. The microbes are creating exudates and enzymes to break things down. So a lot, most of the numbers were lower in general from the soil sample in, you know, 60 degree air temperature than all the other ones, because the other ones were colder. There was very, almost no microbial activity and it was in snow. So that was kind of surprising, but the not on the mRNA, I was just more or less just curious if it would show up. And sure enough, there was no zeros on any of these. That is the disturbing thing, truly disturbing to me, is these should all be zero in the perfect world. And we know we're not in the perfect world, but there wasn't one zero.
And this is all in the snowfall. William, I'm going to take that thing down so we can get Doc Will back. I think anybody that wanted a screenshot of it can take a look at it. Or they can just play this back. Now, Doc, this is where we get into the sensitive part of the show. I mean, I'm frankly a little bit astonished that they didn't already take this thing down off of YouTube. And by the way, folks, if we get scrubbed for any reason, go over on Rumble and we'll just continue over there. Because the only time we ever get in trouble on YouTube is when we talk about ways that can really, really help you. So now we're in that part of the show where people are wondering. And folks, it was William's idea that we come out and we start doing some videos of talking about the things. I mean, I'm going to show you little tutorials that I've kind of gone through before, and I think William's going to do the same, of the protocols that we use to tie this stuff up. Because keep in mind, remember, I said all the numbers you just saw on that sheet of paper, for the most part, we got them down to single digits within months. I mean,
or non-detect or zero.
Exactly. Or just down to zero in months. And mainstream people are going to tell you, oh, these forever chemicals are forever. They can't, you can't do anything about them. That's a lie. And we've proven that over and over and over again. And frankly, I haven't done a really good job of staying on top of it, but Doc, we're getting into that part of the show where this, if they're going to scrub us off, this is it. So we're going to have to be a little bit careful about how we present this.
I'll do my best.
I understand. So folks, okay, so this stuff is out there falling down. It's coming down. It's in the form of this snow, probably almost certainly in the rain, I would imagine, because there is no days off when it comes to spraying. In other words, just look at my shirt. That's right. All of it. Every last one of them. In case you didn't see it, I'm just going to say it. We all niggas now. You hear me? Folks, every last one of us out there, that's exactly what they're doing right now. And it infuriates me because my grandbaby, my son, all of my family is breathing this crap. And I still got to argue with idiots out there telling me, oh, that ain't happening. And look, no amount of evidence can shatter a faith consciously based on a lie. So I'm not talking to you people. So the ones out there that really do have an interest in trying to improve what you have going on, one cool way is knowing how to make biocomplete compost, but very few, very, very few know how to do that. We've talked about it on our Patreon. We've gone through, and I think William's done it on his as well, and I think he's done countless videos, but most people don't know how to do that. Doc Will has a product called Soil Saviors, and we've been talking about this stuff forever and a day. And people are thinking, I've had people in the last video say, well, I'm not even going to raise a garden this year. We got to eat something. And folks, they were spraying the entire time I was putting this stuff down. So Doc, how was I able to get ahead of these numbers? Because weekly I would go out there and I would put an application of Soil Saviors out there. And there's a like a combination of, I think, seven items where you put them all together. You just follow instructions, folks. And I was going out there weekly, applying it out there, probably a little too much, but oh well. And I wasn't even doing it properly. And I still crossed the finish line, not at first. So
we made it idiot proof just for you, Billy.
You did. I'm glad you did because I needed it. I needed it. How were we able, even though they were constantly spraying as I was putting this stuff down, how, explain to me what's going on and how we were able to reverse these numbers and get them into a non-detect status while they were still doing this stuff? I mean, isn't it just going to be made inert when they just spray more stuff down, or how does that work?
Well, that is a problem because the stuff coming down out of the air landing on the soil does cause the microbial death in several different ways. And it is the acid profile. It really moves the needle towards acid because of the metals and the other chemistry that's coming down. And so really our soil is extremely dead, if you will, of life. It's just, the diversity just is not there like it used to be. And now what we've got in the Soil Saviors is we have over 1,000 species of organisms, different strains, and they all do different things, as in digesting things out of the environment. A bunch of them, they're actually called extremophiles because they thrive in extreme conditions. So it's just advanced biological remediation is really what it is. But and there's also food in there. So food for plants in general, to aid the plants, to help the microbes. Everything in the kit is engineered to benefit the environment and the organisms that we're putting in the environment and the domestic organisms that are in the environment, to make them all get along together and do their work. So if everyone, the organisms, what do? They eat, they create the environment to be good for them. And in exchange, they give back after they digest the junk, you know, the aluminum and the other things and the other compounds. They break them down by creating enzymes and exudates that then come in contact with the contaminants, and then it changes them. It takes them from a metal state and it converts them into a colloid state, which is what Pat has talked about, that carbon bonded thing. It neutralizes the toxicity and actually turns most of the contaminants into essential fatty acids, which are beneficial for the environment. So you don't have to sequester them and remove them. You're actually putting the critters in there that are going to digest them, and they're going to then poop out the stuff that's it's non-toxic anymore. And so it's old-fashioned bioremediation is really what it is. And so in doing that, you're creating more food for the plants that is growing in the soil. And it's really the same philosophy that I've used to create products for people as well. So it's really simple on its face, because it's basically encouraging nature to do its job is really what we've done. You've looked down the barrel of that microscope quite often. You've seen the change from your awesome compost to now even better by just introducing these compounds and organisms into your compost. Because that compost pile, there is nothing that we can't digest through that compost pile now. Nothing.
Absolutely.
That is so important for people to understand. Is right now, if you're just taking your regular stuff and making compost, you can't put in there, you can't generate or create the elements that are missing in your soil by doing composting. All you're doing is, I call it concentrating malnutrition, is really all you're doing. Unless you add, you've got to add the diversity, at least of the microbes, and your compost, you're bringing in off-farm things, or you got to bring in, because what is farming in general for the last 100 years? It's mining your soil and giving it, selling it off, moving it off-farm, really.
Right.
And so we've just put all this condensed into a little recipe that you put the seven things, you stir it, and then you apply it. It's fairly user-friendly, at least in my mind. It's some easier than some of the pesticides we used to have to mix and deploy and wear moon suits and, you know, all that respirators and stuff. This stuff, you can bathe in it. You know, it's not going to hurt you. It's actually going to make you feel better. Probably get rid of your toe fungus if you drip some on your foot. It's going to help the environment. And it's living organisms that are doing it. So we're using nature to fix nature.
That's what I'm talking about. And folks, I use this stuff religiously. William, you also, what was it you did? And you said about your seed starting, what was it with the soil saviors exactly?
Oh, I added it to, the soil saviors in my compost extract, I add to everything. I added to the garden beds, I added to the raised beds, the in-ground beds. I also put it in like a spray bottle, and I'll spray my seedlings with it as well. I mean, I absolutely like anything that I'm starting, anything that I plan on growing and then eating, I use that soil saviors and the compost extract on. Now, question about the soil saviors and like the frequency of application. Let's say I had soil saviors applied to my garden before this snow event happened. And let's say I live in like Tennessee, where I got like a ton of snow and a ton of ice and everything like that. Do I need to reapply the soil saviors after that event as well? Like expecting some sort of a microbial die off after that event, or should the microbes that I added before that event survive? Will they survive that event and continue to break down the chemicals and the toxins and all that stuff? How often should I reapply soil saviors basically?
So the majority of the microbes can live through a lot of heat and a lot of cold, because they've evolved over eons to live that way naturally anyhow. You're going to have some loss. If nothing else, just from the toxicity coming down once that stuff starts to melt. Because right now, there is very little activity going on in the soil when you got snow and ice stacked up on it. Most of the life just goes dormant and like a bear and just, you know, hibernates. And then as the everything melts and warms up and starts to get, you know, that 40, 50, 60 degrees, I like to say 45 to 50 is kind of the magic number where things really, at least our stuff, gets kicking in, because the temperatures are, that's warming up. And so they'll become more active. And it just so happens that a lot of these organisms that are in able to live in these extreme environments, they're really not harmed by all the contaminants. But I would totally be, as soon as that soil probe reaches 45 degrees, I'd be putting some stuff on. There's really no need to right now, because it's not going to, you know, it's not going to penetrate through the snow and ice pack or the frozen ground. It's just, that's kind of a waste right now. I would wait until like that temperature probe's hitting, you know, 45 degrees, 40, 45. I'd be out there in the afternoon when the sun's going down or in the evening, putting that stuff on, loading that soil up immediately for when it starts to really get warmer in that 50, 60 degrees. And, where you're going to need it when the plants start growing. So I would totally be loading it. I'm a fan of less concentration and more frequent applications. I'm a much more fan of that because it's less stress for whatever's growing, and you layer it. I call it just layering it on, and the soil, then the diversity will start to cooperate a little bit better when you just ease into it. It's kind of like weaning yourself onto something new. You go a little slower to get used to it, kind of. But I was still, frequent applications. You can do it weekly. I don't really like to do it unless it's heavy remediation and you don't really care what's growing. Weekly to, you know, anywhere, you know, I've had success in Oklahoma on one of our places there where it was a 20 acre piece. They're just growing native hay, and they were getting 70 ton off of that 20 acres with just two applications over 60 days. That's two, you know, every 30 days. They went from 70 ton to 148 ton of hay off of that 20 acre piece of ground. They over doubled their yield, overall yield. And the cool thing is that I was talking to the neighbor that made the hay that we sold him, that he cut it and did everything and hauled it over to his place. I was over there this last year, and I'm like, so what's been your experience using our hay? Because he was all happy that, you know, whatever you did, because I didn't charge him for it. I was actually doing a trial just to see what would happen. And we far exceeded our expectations on yield. You know, we go from 70 ton to 148 ton is pretty excessive. And he goes, you know, I did find a downside to your hay. He said, my cattle won't eat my hay until your hay is gone. He said, that's really the only downside, which I find that's really not a downside to me. That's a brilliant marketing observation, because the cattle wouldn't even touch his hay, and he uses biosolids from the local municipal source as his fertility over there on his place, and we're over here using basically the soil savior stuff, and the cattle won't even touch his hay until ours is cleaned up. So that's a huge testimony in and of itself, and he looked at it as a downside because, you know, he had to use our hay first, the botan hay.
And I got to be honest with you, it makes all the difference in the world. In fact, you can see the animals concentrate in the areas where it has been used, because just like Dr. Oh, yeah. Lane, you know, like Dr. Lane Ingham talked about, you know, everything you need is already down in the soil. You just need a means to unlock it in most cases. And that's exactly what these organisms do. And then also, I can't get into transmutation and some of the things that are almost certainly going on as well, because we just don't have enough time to get into it. But Doc, I know a lot of people, and I know we can't cover it here, folks, because remember, we're also broadcasting on YouTube. I wanted you to know, A, number one, there is a problem, and B, there is a solution. And Soil Saviors, we got it linked. It'll be linked down below. But also for the people out there that are having medical issues, I just tell you right now, we can't even talk about it, but because you do address those things as well, how would they get help for that, or how could they contact you in order to, you know, for whatever medical concerns they may be dealing with right now?
Well, we have a sister site. I don't know. Can we mention that as well?
Sure. Can't talk about it.
Yeah, it's called Cell Saviors, CELL. So there's a few products there that are just kind of your general, you know, everyone should be taking those anyhow because nobody has enough or at all any electrolytes in their body. Most, and I've done now far exceeded 26,000 scans in the last 17 years. And every single person has three things. Every scan I've done in 26,000 in 17 years is malnutrition. That's colloid minerals, that's electrolytes, that's essential fatty acids coming from animals. We are deficient in those as a species. The other one is systemic infections. And the third thing is systemic toxicity. Every single scan, those and everything that's on Cell Saviors there is designed to help those three items in your daily regimen. If you're wanting anything private or for yourself, you can go over to my other site, which is bodyelectrician.com. And that site's under construction. It's there. Everything is functioning. If it's not, you got to reach out to us. But you can see then some of the stuff, the more intense stuff for the respiratory, for the neurology, for the gut, as well as our scanning in our lab. And you can find those services and products on bodyelectrician.com. So we're getting ready to bring more of our stuff out commercially now because it's time, and we're, you know, having to be a little cryptic on some things because platforms and the censoring has really picked up since the whole Stargate thing, and the AI stuff has been added everywhere. So we're doing our best. I think I was bland enough in that, don't you think, Billy?
No, I think you knocked it out of the park, Doc.
Okay.
Hey, and, real quick, could you explain the thing that people have to sign whenever they're buying from Soil Saviors? It's a question that comes up every single time. People are always kind of slightly concerned.
Great question. And so because of the blandness that we've had to, stick to on certain platforms, protecting ourselves has been primary against those pushing the blandness. And that is... there, we have protection through private contractual agreements. And so there's a nonprofit status, and if you want to look it up in the coding, it's a IRS 508C1A status, and that's where Cell Saviors, Soil Saviors, and Bioelectrician, we all are under a nonprofit at our core that's a private membership association. Most people have heard of Costco or Sam's Club. It's the same thing. It's basically, they call it a buying club or whatever, but that's a private agreement. You have to pay to buy a card and a membership there, and it's a similar thing. It's I don't charge for mine, and all three of the platforms that I just mentioned or sites I just mentioned, you're not being charged. It's a free member. I want you to be a member. I don't want to take your money to become a member. I want to give you the membership, and then you can then partake in the benefits that we have as a group. In that contractual agreement, it protects us as a manufacturer. It protects you as a customer from the intrusions and all the other hubbub that goes around being in what's called the public space. We operate in what's called the private space, which I find a lot easier, a lot friendlier, because we don't have to abide by all of the public laws and constraints that we have to do when we operate in the public, out in like a public store. So this would be more like, you know, in the olden days, you go to the door and you go, "Hey, can you let me in? I want to drink some whiskey." And so, you know, then you are a member, right? A member of the club. And so liken it like that. And there's actually some language that you're going to have to agree to. It's basically saying in the agreement is, you and me are going to do business. We're going to be private about our business. And if you've got a problem with what you're doing or a problem with what your any service or anything that you've purchased, then you're going to reach out to us. and you're going to work with us to make it right. It's kind of like a gentleman's agreement, like it used to be. You shake hands, and if you have a problem with that person, you go over to that person and you say, hey, you sold me that dog and that dog doesn't work anymore. Or, you know, and then you would have a conversation about how we're going to work this out. Instead of running, you know, in a public space, what do? You file a complaint to whatever controlling jurisdiction is over that public space. Over here, it actually helps humans become humans more, because we're designed to be in community with each other. And this is just another avenue. We've created, in essence, a community, a membership of people that come to our site like they would go to the store, or they would go to the farm, or they would go and purchase something. It's just a different way of looking at it, but it's a member, private membership. And fortunately for me, you have to join our membership in order to take advantages of what we have, but at no cost. You just have to digitally check a box or sign your name or whatever, and that makes you a member. And now basically we're in our community now.
That's the way we roll around here, man. That's what I'm talking about. And hey, Mary, thank you for the $50.
Yeah,
super chat. Yeah, you break bread, I won't fake dead. thank you for that money. Hey, Doc Will, I want to thank you so much for coming on. I know you you're like bouncing around doing interviews all day. I want to thank you so much for coming on. Once again, tell everybody where they can find you. I know we just covered it here, but some people are coming in, some people are going out. Best places to find you.
The easiest is bodyelectrician.com for me personally. You can go to Soul Saviors. You can, they'll get to me eventually too, or Cell Saviors. I've got a Rumble channel, Dr. Will Spencer channel. I've got a LinkedIn, Doc Will Spencer on LinkedIn. What else? That's pretty much the major that I was sanitized off YouTube about 7 years ago. So I don't have hardly anything there anymore, but that's the main way. I mean, you can go to the website and just call the office, email, however, I mean, just your regular ways.
Well, Doc, hey folks, if you want to see Doc Will in person, along with Pat Miletich and everybody else, we talked about it at the top of the show, Sovereign Health Summit, he's going to be there. He's going to be presenting October 27th through the 31st. You can see it online. You can watch. We have online tickets, and we also have place, you know, a thing you can do in person. And Doc, are you going to be scanning people while you're there? I mean, at your booth or anything? Is that something you do at any of these events or no?
I usually don't, just because of the complications and whatnot with it. But I mean, I have a whole lab crew as well. So it's just not me. So there's a whole, I have a whole team. So
I got you. Yep. All right. Well, I want to thank you so much, Doc. I want to thank everybody else in this chat. I want to thank Ann Vandersteel for helping to get the word out about this. And you know the deal, y'all. We live in crazy, crazy times. And you know the deal. Stay alert.
Stay alive. Let the ideas unfold. I'm grooving with the truth. Feeling nature's truth. We got the answers. All we need to do. Listen to the earth. They got us through. Let the seeds of the shame. Watch the world spin. From the smallest sprout to the harmony begin. In the cycle of life, where the magic's alive.